You are listening to a Sunday sermon from St. Thomas Episcopal Church in Bellevue, Washington. We are a community that seeks God's presence, serves Christ and others, and grows together in faith. Welcome to our podcast.
The following sermon was preached on the third Sunday in Lent, March 4th, 2018, by the Reverend Lex Breckenridge, rector at St. Thomas.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The religious authorities then said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The religious authorities then said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and will you raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this. They believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
I look forward to Lent each year for a lot of reasons, not the least of which is the arrival of our Lenten Meditations booklet. A member of this community is assigned each day to take a passage of scripture and offer a reflection on it. There are plenty sitting back there in the narthex if you want one, and I highly recommend that you take one home if you don't have one already. These reflections are often deeply personal and offer a window into the interior life of the writer in a way that invites of what I think of as soul friendship. We get to learn something about the writer, and then the process we'll often learn something about ourselves. I had that sort of revelation a couple of days ago. I'd been sitting all week with our gospel story, this familiar account of Jesus cleansing the temple. I preached on this story a bunch of times, and I was really having trouble coming up with a new angle on it. Then I read my friend Tanya Farr's reflection last Friday. "Therefore, glorify God in your body," the Apostle Paul says to the church in Corinth in the 6th chapter of his first letter to them. This really spoke to Tanya, she said, because of her love of physical activity. She's an avid rower, an avid bicyclist, a great hiker, and appreciates what this activity does for her, mind, body, and spirit. "My body is a gift from God," Tanya says, "a blessing. And by using my body to its fullest, I can glorify the gift. And in the process, glorify its creator." Lovely. Now, I'm also grateful for physical activity. I'm actually mildly addicted to a fitness class I attend 4 or 5 times a week. I'm so addicted, I get up at 5:30 in the morning to get there. And I love to hike and ski and walk here in the beauty of the glory of the Northwest. And I'm doubly grateful for my body, having survived, at least so far, an alley fight with cancer I found myself in a couple of years ago. As I gradually returned to health, I swore I would never again take my body for granted. So Tanya's reflection connected me back to our gospel reading in a way that I hadn't considered in the past. Jesus, you'll recall, is pretty ticked off by what he considers to be the abuse of the sacred precincts of the temple. So he drives out the sellers of sacrificial animals and turns over the tables of the money changers. His father's house had become a marketplace. And then the religious authorities asked him a curious question. "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Now, remember that John's gospel is often called the gospel of signs. Jesus works 7 signs in the gospel, all of which point to the identity of the God he calls Father. The first sign occurs at the wedding feast of Cana in Galilee, where Jesus saves the host from humiliation. And in those days, it would have been a great humiliation had the wine been allowed to run out. And that was the case. And so Jesus saves the host from humiliation by turning water in six large stone jars into wine. This is a sign of the abundance of God's love poured out for the world. And our story this morning comes right after that. And while it's not one of the seven signs, it does invite us to hear Jesus saying that he himself is a sign. Destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. Wait now, the religious authorities say. You know, they're clearly literalists. They don't understand quite what he's getting at. They say the temple's been under construction for 46 years. How can you raise it up in 3 days? But John tells us Jesus was speaking of the temple of his body. The temple of his body. For 1,000 years, the temples in Jerusalem had been venerated as the home of God, the place where God was said to dwell. Jesus now makes this radical, this incarnational claim that his body is the temple. His body is the home of God. And that takes us back to the Apostle Paul's observation to the Corinthians. Paul says, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God, and that you are not your own. For you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Bodies. Well, we've all got one. But sometimes we don't quite know what to do with our bodies, do we? I mean, we're self-conscious about our bodies. We want to change or reshape our bodies, or we just wish they were different, or they conform to some impossible ideal taken from the world of marketing. And sometimes we can feel separated from our bodies. I mean, it's been a real problem in the West since the Enlightenment. Remember, the French philosopher Descartes famously said, "I think, therefore I am." I mean, as if our minds were somehow distinct or separated from our bodies. But our bodies are who we are. Our bodies matter. We think we only communicate with words. But the truth is, we communicate most directly who we are and what we believe, not by the words we say, but by the action we take. You know, the whole walking the walk and not just talking the talk thing. Or as Francis of Assisi is supposed to have said, preach always, occasionally use words. Our actual bodies, what we do with them and how we live, will communicate God's love, or not, if we choose not to. And they'll do that often a whole lot more honestly than the words we say. You know, all the blah, blah, blah we do about what we believe this or that. But if we're not living it out, you know, what good is that? It's just all wind and noise. I'm also mindful of something I heard Father Richard Rohr say 30 years ago. You hear this. We don't think ourselves into a new way of living. We live ourselves into a new way of thinking. We don't think ourselves into a new way of living. You know, we don't sit around and think, oh gosh, if only things could be different, if only things could be different. Well, if we want things to be different, we've got to start living it out. We live ourselves into a new way of thinking by the practices we take on, the disciplines we take on, the service that we offer. That's what transforms us, is the way we live then transforms the way we think. Our lives will be transformed. Our lives will be drawn closer to Christ by what we do in our bodies, by the service we offer, by the action we take, and by the love that we share. Bodies matter. In this holy season of Lent, we're traveling a road with Jesus. We're traveling a road with God embodied. And the road's leading us to a body beaten. The road's leading us to a body on a cross. The road's leading us to a body anointed into a body transformed. I mean, words just don't do this justice. You know, Lent invites us to reflect on our own bodies and our own faith and in our own lives and how our bodies live that out. Jesus is saying to us today that his body is where God is located. You want to see what God looks like? Look at Jesus. And as the Apostle Paul reminds us, your body is God's home too. Your body is a temple, the home of the indwelling Christ. You know, an old seminary professor, a guy named Charlie Cook, who was from Pampa, Texas, deep in the Texas panhandle, looked at me one day and kind of arched his eyebrows and said, "Lex, people are going to come looking for Jesus, and all they're going to find is you."
Great.
Bracing. So this week, be aware of how your body preaches.
I love it.
Be aware of how your body communicates love for others and love for yourself. You know, when we're not taking care of ourselves, when we're not taking care of our own bodies, that's really a sign that we're not loving ourselves sufficiently. The Word has become flesh in Christ and in you. Live as the Christ-centered, Christ-transformed person you hope to be. Glorify God in your body. Amen.
For more information about St. Thomas Episcopal Church, please visit our website, www.stthomasmedina.org. That's www.stthomasmedina.org.